Hey guys, I'm Tim.
I'm Bob.
I'm Spencer.
And I'm here.
And this is the Board Game Rundown. Thanks, Dan. today we've got what? Games we played, news, a crowdfunding, and then a topic.
Wow, really? Mixing it up? No, that's the same as every week.
Same thing as every week.
Play
the same song. Same song, okay.
You got it. Lots of news.
Uh-huh.
Not really lots of news. I guess there's some news. No?
We couldn't find any news.
Okay. I was looking for a while. I was like, I wonder if Tim has industry news because I can't find anything.
I guess real quick, like top of the show, let's just like...
Yeah, top of the show.
Let's do... Like, subscribe, and hit the bell. So,
I was waiting for Bob to do that. Right. It was like,
smash that button. Yep.
But also, we've had a bunch of comments on the Kemet video because we were playing a few things wrong.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Which... is fine.
Yes.
And actually, I appreciate all of the engagement, right?
Yes.
And the back and forth and being able to talk to people about the stuff. I'm really glad that everybody's watching it. So, full disclosure, as Dan and I have said, I think as our responses have been, the two things that we got wrong, I don't think would have changed our experience in the game.
Right. So,
we played consistently.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, the key thing, because it was just how ports worked.
Okay.
Which is kind of confusing, and it's a newer thing to the second edition.
Sure.
And then the purchasing of powers, we were limiting ourselves to doing.
Yeah.
Which, again, like I think you even said, we're playing on hard mode.
Right.
You know? Which is fine. But what were you going to say?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say that, I've said this to many people, and I have watched full playthroughs of both editions of Kemet and everything, and I just want you guys to know, because this is what matters, since it was a review that we got some of this information wrong on, I promise you it would not have impacted my score in any way.
Right, the way
I feel about the game, even with, I was like, okay, you can buy more things per round. That's cool. It wouldn't affect my score. I'm not going to give it a whole point because I can buy more text per round. Ports, guess how many times I used that when I played? None. It wouldn't have impacted my score changing those rules. So even though if you watch those videos and you're like, hey, you guys are playing wrong, especially if you're like, you're doing a review here, try to get the information right, because some people word it in a way that's less nice than other people.
Oh, sure.
No one is perfect, and the information that we gave out is all that you need to know. Like, yes.
It wasn't a how to play.
Exactly.
So
that's the important thing. It is not a how to play. It is our review, and what matters is how we share our opinions on it, and my opinions would not change from what we have learned.
Well, and I guess the other side of that is also we played it. We reviewed our experience playing it.
Right.
And we compared and contrasted it to original Kemet.
Right.
Right. And, again, please, call us out.
Yes.
Keep the comments coming, because I love it. I am just glad that we are putting out content that people care enough to take 5 seconds
absolutely.
To type out a comment. I am happy to have it.
And just fully understand that, like Tim said, the whole point of review is our opinion. So even if we say something that you find wrong, the entire point is that you might not disagree with it. That's the whole point, is then you listen to Tim's opinion and my opinion. You go listen to someone else's opinion, and you put together from all these different experiences, okay, well, I agree with that, I disagree with that, and you put together your opinion before you have to make a purchase. That's the entire point.
And, check it out. Check out and see if that ports rule, If something like that, or the ability to purchase more text, is something that you think like, okay, well, now this sounds more interesting. And I mean that seriously, because we have played games where it's like, man, it just feels too limiting.
Right.
With Kemet, I don't think any of our experiences were like, this is too limiting. I'm not getting to do enough. So again, I apologize for getting some of those things wrong, but we reviewed the way we played it
Those changes wouldn't really affect your
They're house rules.
And we did our we reported on our experience with
rules.
The game.
Accidental house rules.
Also, we just passed 600 subscribers.
Yes.
Looking forward to continuing to grow. So thank you guys for that, and I really appreciate it.
Yep.
I'll go on to news.
Heck yeah.
What games we played?
Because none of us played any games.
I didn't play any game. I played Uno with my kids.
You could have just said nothing.
and a lot of Magic the Gathering.
Well, we had a game night.
We did. I played something before that.
Yes.
Before it.
Did you play anything? Well, no.
I did, but not before that.
Right, right. So just really quick, my brother came over. He was helping move some house stuff, and I sat him down and taught him Whitehall Mystery.
Nice.
So we did a 1v1 in Whitehall Mystery. And it was fantastic.
Oh,
just a great. He walked away like, that was incredible. Like, he had such an intense game. I was Jack, and he caught me on the last turn he could have. Nice. So if he hadn't have caught me that turn, which was down to a 50-50 pick, he was like, I'm next to these two spots. I'm pretty sure Dan has to be in one of them. If he hadn't have caught me there, my next move would have been an alley, and I would have been a next to my, and then I would have been one move away from my final spot, and he couldn't have caught up to me.
Right.
So it was the last chance he had, and he guessed the 50-50 right. We were staring at each other for like 5 minutes because I was very much I cannot choose the spot in front of you, right? Yeah, right. So it was very much, I was looking at him and I was like, okay, well, he's probably least likely to choose this, but then in his head, he's like, well, I'm probably less likely to choose this, so he's going to know. And we were just sitting there forever, and then I was like, I made my move, and then he sat there forever, and he was like, okay, I'm going to rest here. And I was just like,
you got me.
And it was a fantastic ending. He loved the game. He's really looking forward to letters from Whitechapel now.
Good. Yeah.
But,
so, it's a good warm-up, right, for that.
Yeah, exactly. We played, especially with just a two-player Whitehall mystery, and I made, like I said, two moves away from the end, and it was probably 30 minutes. Yeah. You know,
so
like,
good.
It's fantastic.
It's so good. I love it.
Yeah. So that was it, and then game night.
So what went down on game night?
Well,
I was going to ask you guys, and I was like, I'll just wait.
So we were together for like 5 hours or something.
Yeah,
guess how many games we played?
One.
Technically two, but I'll say one.
Okay, so I didn't go to game night because I was there's like a locally here, there's like a historic mansion. They were doing like a mystery thing.
Yeah, which
and
was
so
awesome.
I was performing in a sketch.
I mean, kind of
so it hindered,
you know, a loser.
It hindered my ability to get in a lot of games this week. But I was really glad to do it. It was a ton of fun.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah.
I want to go to that one day.
So game night.
All right, so we played Moonrakers.
We finally played Moonrakers. It's a negotiation deck building game.
Okay.
Yeah, and like engine building too. So you've got a ship, and you put ship parts
on it. Deck building is engine building.
Well, it's not just deck building.
So it was you guys, Mike, Caleb, and Jesse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was trying to think if that was the full play.
I'm not a stalker. I just keep track. Showing up.
I think the reason why it took so long is because we really got into the negotiating. Like crazy.
Yeah, there were a couple negotiation rounds that went really long, and it was obviously a learning game for everyone.
Sure.
Having played two games with Jesse yesterday,
oh, yeah?
I can see how it can take a long time. He's been, between you and him.
I know. It wasn't just me this time when we're going around.
Right. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is with me and Mike sitting there, and it's not just you this time.
Yeah.
It's you and Jesse.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys took a long
time. But here's the thing with Jesse. Here's the thing with Jesse.
He's good.
He always wins then.
He wins.
So, but
I would have won the next turn. I was next.
Right.
And he got the 2 points, and I was going to get the 2 points on my turn.
And I was going to get like 2 points on my turn and not win.
So how was Moonrakers? Was it fun?
Oh, yeah.
It was very fun.
It is a good game. Okay. I don't know. So first of all, it has the market problem.
Okay,
there's a market
like
that you can't refresh easily.
Oh,
you
sure.
can on your turn. You can pay one money to replace one card in the market.
Yeah,
that's hard to do sometimes.
Honestly, I'd be okay with that if you make it unlimited. Like,
oh,
I just keep replacing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you could always.
Or here's my idea. It's a deck building game. You have five cards in your hand, and they are extremely important. Let me discard a card to clear half the market row, and let me do that unlimited. That way, I'm searching for something I really need, but I am massively hurting my turn by doing it. Right. Yeah. Just let me do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was such a big turnoff for me as we were playing the game. But I did love the negotiation way it plays. It's a very tongue-in-cheeky. Well, it obviously depends on your group, but I felt like it was a very tongue-in-cheeky kind of negotiate, but also a mathy negotiate. Okay, well, I only need thrusters on this spot. Spencer, you say you have thrusters? Yes, I have two thrusters guaranteed. Okay, that's pretty good. But then Caleb here has one thruster guaranteed and can draw a bunch of cards on his turn, so he'll probably get another thruster, and he's asking for less. Right, because the whole point is before you go on the mission, you decide how you're splitting up all the goods.
But then you have to be like, is he going to fulfill an objective and get a point out of that?
Right, right. Ooh. Why is he asking for less? Sure, sure. But
exactly.
So I really like the negotiation. I've always loved the art stuff ever since I played the game like 6 years ago somehow before it came out. I'll never understand. It's either I have precognition or I've played the game before. I really want to find out if the designer's from the South
Bend
area.
Maybe time traveling has messed with your memory.
That's true. Sometimes you get it all mixed up.
Put an acronym too many times.
So Jesse won.
Jesse did win. It was a pretty close game in general. I think Mike,
three of us
Mike got up
at
the very
points.
End. It was me and Caleb who were a little behind. And yeah, so yeah, it's just, you know, some of it comes down to dice because the dice give you negative points, so you have to kind of balance that out. Okay, I'm getting more victory points this turn, so I'll roll the dice because, you know, that's only fair and, you know, all this kind
of
stuff.
And in terms of what you can play, it's more tight than most of these deck builders because you get one action. And if you don't have a reactor in your hand,
right,
you're kind of SOL.
Yeah, the whole point of a reactor is plus two actions. So basically, you have to play a reactor as your first action every turn.
Some Dominion rules.
Except you get the ship parts. And some of the ship parts can be like, you get an extra action. Or if you didn't get a reactor in your hand, draw a card. And you know, things like that. So the ship parts,
which is the engine building he's talking about, is kind of the four ship parts you get.
Literally building an engine.
Yeah.
Yes, you're literally building an engine. And some of them are like, your allies get a bonus, which makes it more likely for them to take you as
but then they can request more, right? They're like, hey, I'm giving you a free action. I want half that money. And stuff. It's just like, oh, right. So, yes, overall, good game. We need to get you guys to play it so that we can review it. But, yeah, I'll play it again, but that market thing, it kills me, man.
Do you think the player count added to the time as well?
Definitely,
because there's more negotiation. Yeah, but, sure, like, negotiation. Did it overstay its welcome would be the thing for me, even though it took us, like, 4 hours to play or something with a learning game. And I don't think it felt like it overstayed its welcome.
No. Yeah.
I think that you will keep chipping that down, and you will have a good hour and a half game in there eventually.
Yeah, I think
you know?
So as well.
Sure. Yeah. Cool. All right.
That's Moonrakers.
What else did you play after that?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said we played one game. But yeah, fantastic game of Just One, as always.
Really good game, yeah.
So we had a Meeple meetup locally.
Technically Friday night first.
Right.
My friend, Other Tim, came over. We played a couple rounds of Magic, but since Chris wasn't there, he's just not big on learning new games. He was willing to learn Korra with me.
Oh, right on.
He loved it.
Yeah,
he thought it was super cool. He really enjoyed it.
Speaking of games,
that's another one we got to get a review of.
It's a Greek city builder. It's not super combative, which is kind of nice. Like, you're doing some military stuff, but you're not like, you know, fighting against each other type of things. And the insert on it is great.
And dual layer player boards.
Player boards. Yeah,
it's great cover.
Check.
I like saying Elio games because I think it looks like it says Elio games, but it's yellow games.
It's yellow games.
Oh yeah, it's yellow.
It's Elio to me.
You think yellow sounds silly, and you're saying Elio?
Yes,
even though there's you know yellow is a color.
E-L-L-O.
But there's no I
yellow.
Before the O.
What?
There's no I before the O. Elio.
Yeah. So what? There's no Y in it, and you're trying to call it yellow. So
it's I E yeah, right from like a different language. Yeah.
Elio sounds cooler. But yeah, that's one of my favorite games that they put out that I play. Usually some of the games that I play that are lighter.
It's
one of their expert level games.
Sure.
Yeah, it's
cool.
It's super good.
It's cool to see a game like that. You're right, coming from yellow.
I
didn't do that on purpose.
Sure.
It's cool seeing that come from them.
So after that, we did have our Meeple local nonprofit group met up yesterday. Some friend Justin and his wife showed up, taught them After the Empire. She's like, well, she likes worker placement. I'm like, well, this is like tower defense or worker placement. She's like, that sounds cool. They loved it. They were looking for how to get it. And so as we're playing it, Kibbs, they got done with their game and he's like, well, what are you guys playing? You know, and I'm like, well, After the Empire, he's like, castles and catapults.
Caleb, that's out of his
I want to play that. And I was like, okay, you know, because we were like 30 minutes in, and it's, you know, 1.5, 2 hours when you're teaching.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I can probably teach it to you later on. We'll see. And he's like, okay. So we played After the Empire, we got done, and then we had six people. So then we all played Oceans.
Okay.
Big old player,
love
big old game of Oceans.
Oceans.
It was so good. Caleb was excited, and he was sitting to my right. And I don't know if you remember the first time we played Oceans, you know, and I played a card down, and I fed my guy and got some fish, and Caleb's like, oh, I'm going to play a parasite and start eating guys off of you.
And then it went around. Caleb.
And then Tim played parasite, start eating off of me. So then, yeah. So
I was there for that. That was a good game.
Yeah, what a great game. So that's what I did. I kind of get a little, one back at you there, right? And then I made me a nice big Apex Predator, and I was just munching on people. Ended up winning that. That was pretty good. Yep.
I love Ocean.
That was
great
was
game.
Fun. Yep. Yeah. And then some people took off. And then it was down to David, Jesse, and Caleb and I. So I taught them After the Empire.
Played
that again.
Played twice.
They all loved it. Caleb's like trying to figure out where I can buy it. You know, he loves the bits, the building, the castle.
They have it for
sale
in the game stores.
Yeah, that's what I told him. And so, taught them that. And it was funny because I haven't played a lot of games with Jesse. And he was sitting, because, you know, player orders determined by your score in that game. So it's not always like how you're sitting around. And like, I seemed like I was constantly going after him. And he was constantly doing the move that I wanted to do. Like his first move right out the gate, I saw a refugee for something. I'm like, oh, I'm totally buying that first. That's like a game breaker. It's really good. And he goes, I'm going to take that guy. I'm like, this is not going to work.
The rules say you can't take
that. You can't keep taking the stuff that I want.
As your first action, you can't
take it. So I talked them about it. They played it. They loved it. I won that one, too.
Nice.
Bad teacher award. And then he had to take Jesse home. So we ate, took a little break, came back, and we're trying to figure out what to play. Caleb loves Terraforming Mars and never gets a chance to play it.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed Terraforming Mars, mm-hmm. and David's got all the fancy bits for it.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't do Ares. You did actual.
Actual Terraforming Mars with all like the fancy bits and whatnot. And the like
3D terrain and
all
that stuff.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's David's game. He's played it. I haven't played with the Colony expansion yet. We played with that. We didn't do Turmoil because nobody has played it yet. And we were like, well, this is going to be a long game anyway. Let's just ignore that part of it. And Caleb's a shark, right?
Yeah.
So my 92-74-75 win felt really good.
Wow.
It did feel really, really good. Like,
Did you lose any games that day?
No. I literally won every game I played.
Man, I should have went.
You should have gone.
I was busy while he was playing that. I was playing Put Up With Rude People.
Oof.
Oh, right.
I was playing Mop the Floor.
Game. Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
I was shopping for appliances because my washer blew up Friday morning.
Oh,
morning.
I should have talked.
We were shopping for appliances for 12 hours.
Well. Yeah, I was there like...
Then I had football.
11
to watch.
Hours, literally. I mean, I left for food, but other than that, yeah, I was.
I was shopping for appliances in the morning and then watching football.
Groceries.
Because Purdue played in the middle of the day and then Notre Dame played at night. I mean, that's my whole day.
Football. That's true. Oh, yeah, I forgot they played last night. Check in on it.
Groceries and kids.
That's why I hate them.
That's my life.
Yeah.
But and then today before doing this, we'll have a video up for it. But we did all play Road Trip and Bob's Kickstarter. Man, that turnaround on that was quick.
So fast.
I mean, Runes of Zun was amazing. That's the fastest.
It has to have been within two months.
Hey, Gobico, you're going to have to up your game now. You guys were the fastest delivery. And now look at these little guys coming out. And we're like, hey, you backed this? See you tomorrow.
So. Here we go. Successfully funded. August 17th, 2021.
That's pretty good. That's actually pretty close.
As of filming, is October 31st.
Yeah.
So we're filming on Halloween.
That was a pretty darn good turnaround. Now, there's still a thing that it was an add-on that they were trying to do, which is like an After Dark kind of thing, right, with like adult stuff on there. That didn't make it in the box, but they're going to make it's going to come later.
Second wave shipping kind of thing. Yep. I'm going to snap right there, wherever it is. We are going to have a playthrough of Road Tripping where we didn't completely play through the game, but we played through a little over half and gave you guys a feeling of what the game's like.
Yeah, and that half one with showing the camera and doing everything else, that took us 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was learning the game.
Right, and playing for the camera, showing him stuff.
So
write down in the comments.
Yeah, and you can play with us and keep track of your scores because you'd beat the team who lost, too.
Yeah.
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 I wonder who that was.
Yeah. Huh. They picked the teams.
So Bob's streak may have continued.
May have continued.
We got to break this streak.
Pick better teammates.
That's it. I'm playing something with Bob tonight. I don't care if it's chess online.
So I'm going to just forge right ahead into news as we get going. Speaking of forging, I don't remember if we ever got back around to this, but remember how KeyForge had to reboot?
Everything?
Yeah, fix the
algorithm. So it has come out that it was not a broken algorithm. They were victims of ransomware.
Oh, no.
And they opted to not pay the ransom, just crash their whole system and redevelop everything.
That's awesome. Wow.
Good for them.
What an awesome story.
Can I give them money just for doing that?
You can't
even go buy their game.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of KeyForge?
Actually, I have wanted to buy it, so maybe now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
But I thought, good for them.
Yeah.
Right? But they'll also probably improve on their backups in the future.
There are groups out there that will help protect you against ransomware. And I think any business that actually has computers involved should do that.
I mean, it was probably an oversight.
That is the most PSYOP story we've ever covered. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of cool and worth mentioning.
How did we miss that in the news? We got no news.
I'm telling you, man. I did research. I don't know where he gets all the industry news is the thing. I don't know where he gets it.
I got ears.
Sister.
It's coming out. Actually, it might even be out now by the time this comes out. But there's TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtle Power the OP. Mm. So this is a 3-6 player Ninja Turtles card game. It uses the 80s cartoon art, which is like hits me in the feels. And it's like this weird, like poker style, like you're bidding with like cards from your hand, and then you're like activating and leveling up different turtles. But you, if like Spencer and I play the same card, then we don't get to level up our turtle. So you're trying to not pick the same as the other people, and then you're also trying to beat Kang. Like you're going to be the first one to beat Krang, or whatever. So
not Shredder.
Not Shredder.
Nope. Krang. Imagine.
Who's Shredder?
Ooh.
Another game coming out. Now this one won't be out until June of next year.
Then why are you
June
even talking about it?
2022. It's called Creature Feature. That sounds fun. 2 to 6 players, designed by Richard Garfield.
Oh, okay.
And you basically, the players are acting as movie agents for Hollywood monsters. And so we're bidding cards. Oh, nice. We're using cards and we're bidding on like different roles for our monsters. So we're like making movies.
Main lead.
And trying to cast our monsters.
I like that.
And so I thought, well, yeah, this doesn't come out for 6 months, but this sounds like a lot of fun.
Sure. I mean, that's every Kickstarter we cover. At least.
At least.
Also true. So shipping woes are going to continue. Because
oh, that's not news.
Well,
yeah, that's old.
So big box stores now have started paying a year's worth of shipping space in advance. So because they're doing that, it's going to then, you know, obviously clog up space for like smaller companies and things like that. It's going to be harder to get stuff over. And on top of that, there was a cargo ship or container ship off of Vancouver Island. Thanks to, I believe it was Reed commented on a thing on the Facebook group that had a link to the article.
Yep.
Like so 109 things fell off.
Due to weather, they initially lost 40 containers before. And then later in the day, to make things worse, the ship caught fire.
What?
Right.
And then it had... So,
well, they lost all their fire extinguishers.
They went over the side.
They were all in that container. But I don't think anybody was harmed. They evacuated a bunch of the crew. Like, I believe the captain and a few other members stayed on. But there is like hazardous chemicals and materials and stuff. So, I mean, just aside outside of the board game industry being impacted, it's also like, you know, there's environmental concerns. And it's just like, you have to wonder if these ships weren't stuck, like waiting out. You know, and not in with these sort of things even happen. So, I mean, logistical issues are just still
we need a bigger ocean.
Still, wait a minute.
No. Yeah, I remember reading that 4 of the containers that fell overboard have hazardous materials in them. So just stay away from them if you find one.
And well, sure. And I think they've located most of them, like between the Coast Guard and
good.
The Canadian version of that.
Really
sure
quick.
My game is on there.
Shadowgate. Probably. Publisher.
Yes.
Who is it?
Trick or Treat Studios.
That's what I thought. Yes. I read something about them.
Oh, what'd you read about them?
So
they're publishing Shadowgate.
Yeah, so they announced a bunch of stuff that they were looking forward to doing and designers that they've gotten on board with about talking and stuff. And one of the things that I read that did interest me was they are talking to it's the big M name who designed Spectre Ops.
I think I did read about
this.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. So they're in talks with him, and they were kind of joking back and forth. It's not like some official thing was signed, but they were joking back and forth that they're both very interested in making a Spectre Ops type game in the Halloween universe where one person is Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about that, and I just remember reading that and being like,
yeah,
I'd play that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
So, take all of my dollars.
Right next to Letters from Whitechapel, I got Michael Myers. Yeah, you know, the Halloween.
Did they say what it would be called, or they're just talking about?
They were just talking back and forth about a game in the Spectre Ops design or whatever in the Halloween universe where Michael Myers is chasing down the survivors, which honestly is not the way Spectre Ops plays. So that's the thing that interests me.
Well, your objective then, instead of going in,
is Evil Dies Tonight. Oh wait,
no. Instead of, you know, going and
you only said that one time.
Like,
are you sure
your objective is to get in there and murder somebody?
Yeah, so it's the other way around.
So that's what you're thinking, though.
You're trying to find them.
That's what I'm wondering. So you're wondering if Michael Myers is going to try to be killing objectives, and you're trying to chase him down, or is Michael Myers trying to kill the other players?
No, I think maybe you're Dr. Loomis, and then Michael Myers is going to kill these like four babies.
Or Dr. Loomis's.
Well, you're Dr. Loomis. Haddonfield
Strode
Police Department. No, Laurie's going to be one of the ones that they're going to try to kill.
You think so?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you think they're going to make Laurie Strode an objective NPC? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not.
But anyway, that news excited me, and it excites me that Trick or Treat Games, however you say
Trick or Treat Studios,
has kind of come out, of like nowhere.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and I'm just like, oh, they're doing good. They're doing, they're making money moves.
Listen, John awesome. Carpenter is not shy about letting people use his IP.
Yeah.
He said, his quote is, people come up and ask me if they can do something with Halloween, and I hold my hand out, and money appears in it.
Nice.
And it's, you know what? Dude's put in his work.
Yeah.
You know, like he's earned it. Yep. So good for him. Mm-hmm. But I also appreciate that he's kind of free with the IPs.
Right.
You know,
some people like, get so restricted. It's like, man, it's like, people enjoy those things so much. It's like, stop being a jerk and let us play in your world.
Yeah. Don't be precious with it. Let people enjoy it. And
sure, there's going to be people that hate it, like, right? Like Star Wars, like fanboys who like.
Whoa, no. Guess what? I can still go back and watch the Star Wars movies that I like.
Oh, you can?
The Phantom Menace? Weird.
No, Tim, now that the new
I will
ones
stab
are out,
you in the throat.
Now that the new ones are out, you can't watch the old ones.
Oh, that's right.
So
it's all ruined.
That's what I've always said.
I can't tell you how long
bring on the Back to the Future reboot, baby.
It's really, really weird that, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark is still a perfect movie.
Right.
Despite any other.
What's even weirder
one that might
is how
come out.
It's a perfect movie and Last Crusade's a perfect movie, but I like Last Crusade more.
How does that even work? Sean Connery in it.
Sean Conroy. All right. So that's my news. That's all my news stuff.
Pretty good news.
That was all my news too.
Okay. Cool. Yep. All right. We'll go into Kickstarters.
Yeah.
Kickstarter. Sure.
Crowdfunding. I got two. Two obvious.
I want to mention one because I have been watching this one for months and months.
Well, go for that one.
Elder Scrolls V: Skyrim, the adventure game.
That's
fine. Do you guys want me to talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Now, Dan, I know you just started watching this 5 minutes ago.
So tell us what you've learned.
What have you learned?
Well, it's a game about Skyrim. Okay. Everyone knows that. Skyrim is the fifth Elder Scrolls game, because there's a V in its icon.
So you're guessing that, yep.
It's a good game, but I only played it for like 2 hours, and I was just like, I don't have time for this.
Okay.
there's too much.
Can we get a commitment?
Actually, is it too late for them to just do like a Daggerfall one instead of Skyrim? Because Daggerfall was like the second.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls.
Steamforge Games does their games backwards, evidently, we're learning this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Each one of the games takes place in a different time period in the history of Tamriel.
Yeah.
So Skyrim is at the end.
No, I was just being
really
smart.
Yeah, I know most of the lore too. I'm just joking.
So tell us about the game.
It's by Modiphius Entertainment.
Okay.
I've never heard of this company. It's a 1-4 co-op or solo legacy style game.
All co-ops or solos.
This all sounds
all
great.
All co-ops or solos. You're actually not going to be playing as the Dragonborn. You're going to be playing as a
game
member
sucks.
Of the Blades.
Oh, okay.
Had me, then you
okay.
lost me.
The Blades are cool.
Yeah, you're going to be playing as one of the last members of the Blades, and apparently you're trying to find out what happened and avenge them or whatnot. There's going to be, every round, you have an event that happens. You're going to be exploring the world. You're going to have quests, and you're not just going to have one quest you're doing. Just like in Skyrim, you finish this quest, and here's another one that tacks onto it. It's a chain of quests you got to do. Mm-hmm. And if you complete the chain of quests, you get some big bonus. You can level up your character. You can enchant your items. It looks like Skyrim, the board game.
So campaign style.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he said legacy, so it must be some kind of campaign style.
Yes, yeah. So as you level up, it's going to continue going. And they said there's got tons of different quests that are going to change depending on what choices you make.
Nice.
And I like that. They also said it's going to fulfill in August of 22.
Okay.
So not that.
It's not bad.
Not that bad.
Especially for a big game like that.
Yeah. And again, on GameFound?
Yeah.
That's, oh, yes, you know, yes, it's on GameFound. Yeah.
Something I want to say about that too, like, because I got a lot of the same information that Spencer got. If you go to GameFound and you like follow the projects, you'll get email updates every time
constantly.
They put out.
Now,
yeah.
Almost too much.
Almost, but it's cool because then you get to, you know, follow along as they develop new things, and sometimes they ask for opinions and they'll do surveys, like, oh, what should we do? Should we do this or
that?
Yeah,
like,
it's super cool.
It was really cool seeing, because that was always kind of an Awakened Realms thing. Mm-hmm. Was the really asking the community like, hey, here's three different alien types we're
really
thinking about using, vote on them, right? And
it's
nice to see that has made its way kind of into GameFound in general.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Now, all the information I'm giving you might change because it drops when this video drops. It's not actually out yet.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the price point on it.
It does
yet.
Have a price point, but that might change. The price point is, and it's actually affordable, $95 for the base game.
That seems great.
It's not horrible.
Are there miniatures for the heroes?
Yes,
it's
there are miniatures
be, right?
for the heroes. Okay. Six heroes you can choose between. However, like in Skyrim, there are expansions.
Of course.
Dawnguard is one of them. And then there's From the Ashes, which I don't think is an expansion to Skyrim, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
And you can get both of those and the base for $160.
Not bad.
For $255, you can get minis upgrades, metal septums, a neoprene mat, and a bunch of... So they have
keeps jumping.
Two tiers of unlock stuff. The... I got the expansions and I got the deluxe.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can unlock more by getting
deluxe editions of expansions, basically.
But of course, I don't have any of the unlock stuff. I don't have any of the add-ons because all that stuff hasn't come out yet.
Right.
Right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's cool. This seems cool. Skyrim is a board game. If I was doing it, I would do it a lot like that. See, because I was thinking like, take the bones of the Fallout board game, which I know a lot of people don't love, but the way it does the story elements and stuff with the cards and everything really does work. And the way the exploration really does work, it's just the game overstays its welcome a bit, and it's a little clunky. But take those bones and turn it into a legacy game, and I think that's where Skyrim would go, and it does kind of sound like it. I haven't looked in-depth at it because I'm not going to be able to get it.
I'm on the fence. I mean, I do kind of want it, but at the same time, I have money.
But yeah,
I mean,
Skyrim, everyone will tell you Skyrim's a great game. So it's cool.
This will be a hot property.
And
right?
if you don't want to play Skyrim, go play Elder Scrolls Online.
I always prefer Morrowind.
I like Morrowind a lot.
Yeah. I played the crap out of Morrowind. So. Yeah, but that's back when I was younger and I had all the free time to play that game.
Same.
I can't tell you how much I love walking around with a little cat person killing people in the Dark Brotherhood. That is so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you going to sell me some skooma next?
This one does not deal in skooma.
Oh, boy.
Where's if you have coin?
So another Kickstarter that's big that's hitting right now, Resident Evil Resident 1. Game. Speaking of games that like to go in reverse
order. Let's do 2, then 1, then 0. Next week we'll do Code Veronica.
Yeah.
then let's jump to Biohazard, right?
Yeah. Biohazard 3.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into like a ton of details, but if you're familiar with Resident Evil 2, we even did a review of it, didn't we? Or like a preview?
We did something. We did a preview.
We did some stuff with Resident Evil 2. And so you can see it. I don't think that there's anything like incredibly inventive with the gameplay.
Yeah. Well, this one's going to have more puzzle solving. So I'm interested in seeing how that one
so
plays.
So that'll be interesting.
Because that was bigger,
like
bigger in the first Resident Evil. But I mean, is it puzzle solving or is it like, oh, I'm just going to keep wandering around these rooms until I get
the item you need?
They do. They use the term puzzle solving a lot and they show what look like key cards or something.
Right.
So I don't know how it's going to work.
Sure.
But.
Sure. I mean, it could do a thing where it's like, flip it over. If you have this item, you get this. And if you don't have this item, rah, you know, you get eaten by a zombie.
Right.
But anyways, basically, it's about $100 for the Bravo Pledge, which is the core box and stretch goals. And then it's a huge jump to $297 for the Alpha Pledge, which is all in.
Yeah.
But that gives you the other game, too, though.
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
Not that I
Resident
saw.
Resident Evil 2. I thought it did also, and then I looked.
It's just because there's so many freaking miniatures.
But there's
in
a ton of extra expansions and like character packs
and
dice.
Can you get them as add-ons
terrain.
If you don't want to drop that
yes.
much?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have a problem with this. That we just saw that Lords of Ragnarok is priced at $195, and then you see Resident Evil the board game is priced at $297. And I just think you're getting so much more game out of Lords of Ragnarok. And so I
think that's
for a
everything.
Problem.
That's for everything.
Yeah. $195 for everything.
With that $200 pledge for Lords of Ragnarok, round it up, right? For I agree. I think you're getting a lot more. I would say that now if you're a diehard Resident Evil fan,
sure.
And you want to like, cuz I will say Resident Evil 2, what we played of it, it feels more like a Resident Evil than a Zombicide.
Right. So,
but
I always say this about Steamforged games. Guys, if you are the most hardcore Resident Evil fan in the world, if you would do anything for a Resident Evil game and everything like this, you will love this game. The thing that Steamforged does, I'm going to look at this camera because I never do. The thing that Steamforged does is their games are much better at taking that theme and making it a game than at making an actual board game.
Right.
If people aren't into the Dark Souls universe, they're going to think that board game is boring, grindy crap. Fans of Dark Souls, like hardcore fans of Dark Souls, love that game.
Because,
they love it.
Because that's the game.
That's what I'm saying.
Board game's a lot like the video game.
They they have nailed, from my experiences, the process of taking something and turning it into another medium. Yeah. Right,
so frustrating. And they have nailed that.
But but things don't transfer perfectly. You know, you can see a video game that turns into a movie and it adapts it perfectly,
right,
and it's bad because that's not how you adapt movies. You know, it turns out this is gonna blow your mind, but you shouldn't just take a book and make it a movie and just make all the exposition people's thoughts. that's a really bad idea. You know, so. Things don't always work. They have nailed that from video game to board game. They have nailed
it. Yeah, they seem to be the go-to for conversions.
Yeah,
right?
They're very good at getting the licenses and stuff. Yeah. But you have to be a really hardcore fan. If you're a hardcore fan, I think you'll love it. I think you'll see the flaws as, well, yeah, they have to be there. That's the video game. And that's totally fine.
Sure. And, you know, again, I think you make a good point. I think Lords of Ragnarok, for me, would be a better value. But if somebody rolls in with Resident Evil 1, am I going to go, ooh, let's play
this? Right, right. Especially if they have the all-in, all-in.
Yeah. I'm just like, are they like painted?
No,
or
not painted, but you do get like 3D terrain and stuff like that.
There's
a bunch of
3D. They are just red, and the heroes are gray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just standard.
Kind of want to ask, so who's backing Lord of Ragnarok here?
We'll see.
We'll see.
Like I said, my brother said he will, but
I might have to do it.
Well, you can do
pull my
Evil,
arm.
And I'll get
I'm not going to force my brother back. It's
with
just
any
that.
With any luck, Pete will back Resident Evil. We can play his.
Oh yeah,
I think he definitely
like
will
because
he has the other one.
Right.
So, that seems like it's right up his alley.
The other gigantic one
is it? Yeah,
yeah.
Marvel Dice Throne.
So Marvel Dice Throne has finally announced all the heroes it's coming with and everything.
Yeah, so it is Miles Morales, Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch, Thor, Black Widow, Doctor Strange, Loki, Captain Marvel, Black Panther,
and Daniel.
So $84 gets you everything.
The battle chest.
It's the battle chest. It gets
everything
you all the characters. And if you don't back it at this, what they will do, I'm assuming is what they did with Dice Throne, is that they'll release them in two packs.
So actually they have them in three packs. You can get two of them at a time. That's $30. Or you can get a pack that has four of them, and that's $50.
Sure. So if it's
two,
if it's,
so it's two that are 30, and there's one that's 50.
So if it's something you really, if you like Dice Throne and you like Marvel, go for it. I hate the art on this. I hate their art style.
I hate it so much.
I hate it so much. I do not like the art style.
Okay.
I already don't like Dice Throne. So for me, this is like, well, I don't give it, you know.
Yeah, that's true too, is you have a very strong bias going into it, which is totally fine.
I do.
Totally.
And I will say though that, for an additional $80 on top of that $84, you get like all the player mats and you get like extra.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Upgraded.
So even someone who does look forward to playing Dice Throne eventually, I think it's my kind of game. And this, I want to play Doctor Strange so bad. I think this seems cool. There is no way this little dice game is worth $160. What? Anyway,
it's because that's
It's also compatible with every other Dice Throne thing that's come out.
Right.
Sure. But I don't release the sequel to Halloween and say, well, it's compatible with the other Halloween, so this time it's $80. Well, I won't go see it.
It's
horrible.
They gotta pay Disney a bunch of money.
But the OG,
the OG
Dice Throne, I mean, it was all priced similarly.
Sure. I don't own it.
Right.
I think it's overpriced.
Right. No, it's fine. The components are all really nice. I didn't mind that artwork style because it looks like it's the same art style.
Yeah.
I did not mind that for their fantasy.
Yeah, with
characters.
Fantasy. Yeah,
right.
I
don't
love the look of
like
the cowboy.
I just don't like the way it looks with the Marvel characters.
Sure, okay.
And I know, like, I'm a comic book nerd, and I will gripe about like art on
and
anything.
And my day, the superheroes had different types of tights on.
We shouldn't talk about the superheroes of your day,
Grandpa.
Yeah.
It might be a little problematic.
Yeah, right.
But this is an IP that everybody on both sides, right, Dice Throne and Marvel, that everybody has been really excited for.
Yeah, my sister backed it within like 2 minutes of it dropping.
Sure,
that's crazy.
Sure, I am not a fan of Dice Throne. I should be.
I wasn't blown away by it.
I was going to actually. I actually looked at the Marvel one because it's like, well, maybe this is what I need.
It's Marvel, yeah.
This is what I need because I love Marvel stuff. I mean, I love comic book stuff, Marvel, DC, whatever. But the art style, I'm having a real hard time. Like,
sure, okay.
You know,
I don't mind it at all. I mean, you compare it to the ridiculous art style of like Marvel United and all these other Marvel games that are coming out. None of them look anything like each other. They're clearly just like throwing hooks in every direction
sure.
possible and seeing what lands.
I will say this is a little like meta right here, right? If you look specifically at the characters that they're using, these are characters that are going to be moving. They're going to be moving forward with in like the next wave of movies, yes. Which is why you don't have a Captain America and
no
an
Iron Man.
Man.
I'm like, really?
Yeah.
If it was Iron Man, I might
consider
backing it. But
watch Endgame.
Or just read that their contracts are over.
Yeah.
So I think that has something to do with it. But I also, I mean, that leaves for some pretty solid expansion stuff, you know, to come out too, right? Sure. Like,
there is
like
no way they're not doing Iron Man eventually.
Or like, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's true too. You know. Yeah. That's, dude. X-Men could be a thing eventually.
It
too.
Will be.
I mean, yeah.
They're adding that in every Marvel game right now. Yeah. So.
Well, one thing I liked about it is every character gets their own little tray that's made specifically for that character because they don't all have the same little fiddly bits.
Right. It's like it's like each character has a game tray organizer.
Yeah, it looked like game trays. But
yeah,
no,
they all have their own custom dice, right?
And you can get a little Mjolnir.
So I'm sure it's not quite the place for this conversation, but why is Marvel so much cooler?
DC takes itself too seriously.
Does it though?
Yes. Watch the movies. DC tries to be nitty gritty in all of its movies, and Marvel's like, no, he's purple. Yeah. We're gonna keep him purple. Yeah.
I mean, I think Marvel is more fun, and the movies are better, and everything. Yeah. But I actually do prefer DC.
Yeah. Well, this is coming from somebody who's like, I've really never read, I don't think, a single comic book.
Right.
I've seen mostly just movies and shows and whatnot, and I do enjoy some Batman. Right.
Oh,
Flash
I love Batman.
Is cool and
Batman's
whatnot.
Great.
But like, I don't know. I enjoy the Marvel like slew of characters.
No, it is funny though that it's like the 99% of DC, and then all 100% of Marvel, and then the 1% of DC towers over everything. It is kind of funny.
That sounds about
right. It's basically like the Justice League, Marvel,
everything
else.
DC.
Like that's basically.
Doom Patrol has been entertaining.
Doom Patrol's good.
DC is finally figuring out how to embrace their wacky characters and. Getting away from the Christopher Nolan aesthetic, which was that everything has to like actually be possible.
Sure.
Which is fine. Works really well for what it is, but you cannot then shoehorn superheroes into that template, right?
Well, there's a reason they didn't have Robin in that.
No.
But anyways, moving on. So those are the big Kickstarters I was going to talk about. So you guys got other crowdfunding?
Nope, that was
me.
Resident Evil.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine.
I think those are all the ones.
Yeah, let's bust right into our topic. So we're coming into the holiday season now.
Holiday season.
We got Thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks.
We probably
should have
done a Thanksgiving episode.
We're not even done with it. We haven't even pulled the Halloween decoration.
I know. Episode. Is there a basting turkey game?
So Spencer had a suggestion I thought was pretty good, where we talk about like travel-friendly games. So I've got a few... criteria for this for my own and you guys
I was gonna say great there goes my list
no
criteria.
I definitely well these are personal lists I definitely had list. Two things that I was like boom
so okay. Travel friendly is one do not Duh. Does not take up a lot of space like table
not
space,
a big
right?
table
or,
space
or even the box I don't want to be carrying
that's the
so,
other one
right
huge number of boxes around
right
those are and honestly my two big
you
ones.
Could play in a hotel room or like a hotel lobby or maybe even at a restaurant table
I think
those two categories of small box size so easy to transport
correct
and small table space. Those are the two things. Yeah, small footprint. And those two things I think go into you can play in a hotel room.
Because I have I've stayed in a hotel room and taken games and it's like, okay, you've
got
like this much space on a desk.
I've
like
got
so you
one
can't
more
lay out a whole
criterion.
Bunch of stuff. A criterion?
Yeah. I am criterion.
Can I see your movie collection?
I don't want to have a bunch of little tiny pieces that I can lose.
Oh, sure. That's fair.
Cards is fine.
I didn't think
about
that.
Tokens I could very easily lose, and I do it all the time, especially with kids. When you're traveling, you're destined to be losing stuff, and you can't just go back and look because
that
hotel is 30 states away.
Right.
So that's the other one I had.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So, I mean, who wants to go first? What are...
I'll name a certain thing really quick. So games that have... like thick tiles that you play with, those small games like that, super great games. A lot of people would say, I can't remember the name of the game right now.
Carcassonne?
The bugs.
Hive.
A lot of people say Hive is an amazing travel game. I can see that, but my pick for the same kind of thing is, first of all, Hanabi in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the game. I can understand if you don't, but Hanabi also has an amazing tile version where you you're building them up with the tiles instead. And I think that is a fantastic travel game. It is
Conclusio.
It is Tiny Soul.
You're talking about Hanabi.
Conclusio is a good one.
Yep, Conclusio. Yeah, good point. Really good I should talk about them together. Conclusio is also on my list. Yeah. Conclusio, fantastic deduction card game. Of course, I will always have that little deck of cards on me is basically all it is. But games where you just have a small tile footprint, I think, are fantastic games. Sure. They're small. They're very hard to lose because, I mean, those are thick tiles. Yeah. They're like twice as big as a dominoes, you know, and you're playing with them. But yes, anyway, that's the first thing that I'll mention is Hanabi Tile Edition, Hive. Games like that are fantastic games. So Hive is an abstract strategy game, and Hanabi is a, and Conclusio, we can bump. Butch them together are deduction games. Hanabi is cooperative, and Conclusio is competitive. Both, I think, are great. Bob obviously likes Conclusio more.
Yeah. Well, I guess when I think travel games, too, though, it's like, can you play that? And you can't really play Hive in a car. There's no way
I would never play any game in a car. It'd be hard. That would never go into my...
I want to know what you have for car games.
Okay.
I Spy.
I mean, Spot
well,
It.
Just One. It's
sure.
It's a good game to play in a car, right? Because you can hold the thing, you show it up, okay, and that's it, right? It's done. We just played it. You can play it without the board. Road tripping, something simple like that. You know,
except for the driver.
Well, you get out and you write on the actual license plate.
Yeah, well, because like, we used to play that while we were driving in cars.
Right.
And now we're just writing our own license plates, right? Something like Quicks, right? Like the Deluxe Edition has this little bottom of the box. You roll the dice in the box. Everybody has their own little card and their marker. They write their things on. You pass the box to the next person. They roll their dice. And you can play that while you're cruising on an airplane, in a car.
Sure.
I mean, there's a bunch of games out there that are designed. There's like Travel Edition. And they've got places the little pieces like fit in so they don't go around.
Or they're magnetic.
That's what I was trying to think. What was that game that we played not that long ago that had the magnetic bits? And Dan was like, that's magnetic? It doesn't move around? Oh, my God.
It was that football one, wasn't it?
It was a football game. Yeah, that's what it was. That's that could have been kind of cool. Yeah.
That could work.
First and down?
First and down.
First and down.
It's not first and goal?
First and goal?
First and down didn't sound like a football term, but maybe yes. I don't know. That's
these guys.
So good for listening to the voice.
Who's on first?
I was just saying what he said.
Yeah, no, that's a really fun. That's a really fun one.
He's just saying words now.
But I think that. I guess I felt like just in a car was too limiting.
Yeah,
and because it's most of the time
I'm driving,
so I don't get to play as much.
Multitask. What's the word again?
You got to get the auto drive.
And not with my wife sitting in the passenger seat.
Stop looking.
Exactly.
I hate car rides, so the game I play in car rides is so
trying to have a panic attack.
Stop looking. It's like, why are you tensing?
But anyway, so yeah, I went with smaller footprint. Okay. Like Spencer said, not a lot of like boxes, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, not a bunch of
easy to transport.
Yep.
Like all these things kind of like feed into each other. Cthulhu Wars Duel. Not in the car,
actually,
but you can play in a hotel room.
That's actually a really good one if you want a deeper game. Yeah.
Yeah.
The WrestleNomicon, that was a fun one.
Right.
Small footprint.
Right.
Quick and easy.
Right. But I took Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective with me. Right.
That's a great one if you're on a trip by yourself.
Because you're just
while you're just driving.
No. Yeah.
I was at a restaurant once.
The map.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant once. And I looked over the table next to us, and they were playing that.
Yeah.
The best thing about playing Sherlock Consulting Detective in your car is a lot of times while you're playing that, you'll have other cops behind you as backup.
Oh, yeah, in case you find
following you.
Scotland Yard is here. Yeah.
And you're like, keep on my tail, boys.
We'll catch them.
We're almost there.
Yeah, we got to run away. I think he's playing Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective again.
Again.
It's real Moriarty. Yeah. But that's a great game to if you're stuck in a hotel room, jump into.
I'm beating a dead horse here. I tend to like a game and talk about it a lot, but when I think about small box, tiny footprint, and the amount of game you get out of it, Whitehall Mystery I think is a fantastic travel game. When I was playing with my brother the other day, the amount of table space we took up with just one-on-one again on opposite sides of the table, I had my shield, there was the board, he had his people tokens. I was like, this game is tiny, man.
Just a little booth in a restaurant.
Yeah, you could easily play that in a restaurant without I would bet people would walk by without even noticing. It's such a small footprint compared to other things. Like, I guess the shield standing up would catch an eye, but like it has such a small footprint. And again, if I want a slightly heavier game, but still that tiny footprint and everything, that's a go-to for me for sure. I think that that's a fan. I'm going to bring that on a lot of trips.
Not gonna give you a hard time about that one, because I actually thought about that one too. I was like, I bet that would be pretty good.
One that I thought would be good. Terrible now choice. It takes a little bit more room, but not too much. The Bears and Bees.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's another one.
So I as a blanket, I was like, any Grandpa Beck's game.
Sure, I could see that 100%.
Because Bears and Bees is a Grandpa.
I've only
Beck's
played
game.
Like three of them at this point, but easily all three would be on the list.
But yeah, I mean, they all come in relatively small boxes.
Yep. It's easy to keep all the components in there.
Yeah, there's not a ton of bits to them. Yeah, they all. Yeah.
Yeah.
They
play quick. And as you're playing it, people are going to walk by and go, oh, what's that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the art's really good. They're all very colorful and nice to look at. Yeah.
Do you guys have any more solo games for people out there? Because I can't. I don't play solo games. I couldn't really think of that.
You could do a ton of solo games, right? But
anything that's co-op, solo games.
No, not really solo games.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah.
But I guess moving on past that question, then I put both Deckscape and Decktective games.
I was going to mention those.
Oh, that could have been news. Another Deckscape was just announced, I think.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
Ooh, I have to reach out to Bryce about trying to get one of those.
I remember seeing something about that. I should have mentioned that in news, but I totally forgot because I forgot to write it down.
Okay, so, we'll talk about it now.
We'll talk about it next week.
Edit it back in the beginning.
Right, but those games, right? Tiny box, tiny footprint, really. You know, and if you're traveling with your family or a couple of friends, it's a nice thing you could do to kill some time in a hotel room or whatever.
Those are great games.
Or while you're waiting for your food.
What about Forbidden Island and those kinds of games? There aren't too many. It takes a little
bit of
space.
I've only played Forbidden Sky, and that takes up a lot of
table. That
takes
the most up, though. You haven't played Forbidden Desert? Oh, it's a fantastic game. We got to play it at some point.
So I think
it's the best of the trilogy.
I think my problem is those are like evergreen sort of like cornerstone games. Yeah. And when I got into the hobby, everybody had already moved past those.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you're not as likely to get introduced to them. It's like why it took so long to play Dixit.
Right.
Because other games sort of like that.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, nobody's playing Dixit anymore, so I don't. It never kind of came around to me.
I think the reason I like Forbidden Desert so much is because it's the perfect blend of extremely simple game. I mean, we're talking about pandemic style action system and stuff, but Forbidden Desert will kick your butt.
Yeah,
you will.
I like
as
a
long
hard
as you're not
co-op.
Playing on the easiest difficulty, you will lose more games than you win in Forbidden Desert. And I just, it's the perfect mixture of that, I think. But anyway, Forbidden Desert has a perfect table space. You're totally right. I didn't think of it. It comes in a metal tin, so that's great for traveling, of course. I mean, you're not going to damage anything. You're not going to lose anything, you know. You could just throw it in your car and you'll be fine.
It seals up
metal.
Tight, right?
Yeah. Oink. So, that's a great one. Good point.
I put both Bang or Bang the Dice Game.
You know, I just thought of Bang the Dice Game literally 30 seconds ago. I was like, that would obviously you'd be sitting closer than normal if you're going for a small table space and stuff. But if you want a social deduction game, Bang might be the smallest you can get, huh? If you're not going with like don't go there or whatever. I guess you're right. Werewolf has no table space.
Well, Werewolf, you know.
Sure. But I mean, I was just thinking of like games that are actually like on the table and doing stuff with.
I'm just kidding.
Bob doesn't like Werewolf.
I don't either. What are you talking about? Agree.
But, you know, small table space, easy to get a hold of, fun to play. One of my go-tos is For Sale. I love For Sale. It's two decks of cards and some coins.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, so the games I took on my last trip, here's a good one. Again, taking a bigger game, kind of like Whitehall Mystery, taking a bigger game and literally almost having a travel size that plays faster and everything, I think Sonar is a fantastic game to take.
Yeah. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, so everyone loves Captain Sonar that's played it. Sonar is just a smaller version that is for up to 4 players instead of up to 8. You can do 1v1, that's what I did. And the only main difference, while everything is streamlined to make it smaller, the only main difference is it's not real time. I take my turn, then you take your turn, then I take my turn, and we're hunting each other down like that. I guess you could probably play real time, but with just the 1v1, I think it would just be so hectic. That's why they don't do it.
Technically, the 8-person version does have a turn.
Yes. So they it's like the teaching version. Yeah. So you take that version, and that's the game. But I took it on my last trip, and we played Sonar, and we had a fantastic time playing it. It's tiny footprint, you know. So basically, an 8.5 by 11 with a shield in between you guys, you know, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're gonna open up to some little bit of a table presence, pretty much any Rollin' Right, you know, like Welcome to could work. The Roarin' Right, the Dinosaur Roarin' Right that we played.
Yeah. I was trying to only name games that I would recommend. But
he had fun. Don't let him lie.
Cartographers, right?
Cartographers.
That's
sure.
one I really like.
There are
Seven
some
Bridges, Seven Bridges is definitely one. A good one.
Oh yeah.
Roll for the Ages.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I liked that Roll that for the Ages.
Yeah. And then it's got plus your board is like a pegboard, right? So it holds all the little pegs in there.
Have I ever won a Rollin' Right?
Yeah, no, that's why they're so good.
Oh, I was going to say, because that'd be my favorite one.
So none of them.
Told you.
Yeah,
I'm a man
out.
Of my word.
Yeah, there's some of them, they have little tins. They're like made specifically to be small. The one I can think of right now, I have.
Yeah, but some of those, though, like the Tiny Towns, that still have quite a bit of presence.
Yeah,
you know, like
the
tiny
and the small
one,
pieces thing.
Like, pieces, and you open up, and it's like, oh, I have five things I got to put around here.
Yeah,
that,
Tiny
yeah.
Epic.
There's
really
one I have
galaxies.
Called Microbrewery,
oh.
And you've got little pieces all over, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Well, there are those.
At the same time.
There are those like there's postcard games, right, where it's like you just use some pennies and you know, like bits that you like just detritus that you find around and you use that to make your to do the thing. I haven't played a ton of them, but they exist.
The one that almost always comes with me because my kids love it is San Juan.
Yeah,
it's not new, but it's a solid game.
What's the game that replaced San Juan for me?
Race of the Galaxy?
No, I talked about it recently, and I can't remember what it is. Oh, well. Because that one, I would take
I would not take Race of the Galaxy because it has so many little tokens.
Yeah.
And those things get lost.
Sure.
They get lost on a normal table.
I know.
Yeah. But, I mean,
there's a lot of little games out there to check out.
So what are some of the games? I know Dan's looking for something. So.
I just want to see what we have here while you guys are talking.
Happy Little Dinosaurs.
Yeah, let us know what are some of your go-to, like, I'm going
travel
on a vacation.
Travel games.
I mean, Just One, 10,
yeah.
Llama.
We mentioned Just One already, right?
We never
did. That was
Just One is number one for sure. Oh, because you said in a car.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, any games like that are really easy. Llama or 10 might get a little... Well, if you're playing in a car, it might be tough because you've got some tokens. You're managing.
10 can't play in a car really. Any game with splaying, you can't
yeah,
play
it
with
tricky.
But or like Splendor, you could play. Splendor doesn't take up
that much
room.
That much
you could
room.
Play that. Dice Miner, you could play it.
Oh, like, Dice Miner's a great one. That's a newer game that we covered recently, and yeah, that's a
little bit
great
of space.
Travel
yeah,
game.
Dice are a little harder to lose than like little tokens.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, and just stop losing things, Spencer. I've talked to you about this.
Right. But so, what are some of your guys' favorite games, your go-to games for traveling when you're
This is a very open discussion. There's millions of games we could mention here, and I just wanted to mention the ones that I would immediately grab.
Sure.
Right.
I'm sure like you guys probably have like your favorite game that you've managed to figure out a way to transport it. Like, you know, like when I play Magic a lot, we figure out how to play it, you know, on a
There's
bus,
a lot of people
you
who
know? That's actually a good one.
There's a lot of people who take these big games and put them in tackle boxes to travel with them and label them and stuff. And that's a genius way of doing it. That's too much work for me.
There is a group before Cthulhu Wars Duel came out. There is a forum thread where they have miniaturized Cthulhu Wars stuff.
That's hilarious.
And little like meeples and bits.
You reprint your own like
and
I want to just cute Cthulhu. Cthulhu
right.
I'm gonna eat your soul. I'm gonna eat your heart.
but yeah, I mean those. There's a ton of good ones, and I think that it's awesome that there's so many games out that you could go and...
Fantasy Realms.
Oh, Fantasy Realms.
Man,
is a really
just
good
played
one.
That for the first time at the JuliaCon thing. Great game. That little seven-hand card game. You played it too, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't play Fantasy Realms? So it's like a game where you start with seven cards, and on your turn, you can discard a card and pick up
it's
one.
It's kind of like Red Rising.
The one with the butterfly.
Yeah, it's like Red Rising,
not
but just
the
card thing.
That's a different one.
Oh.
No, yeah, different one.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, it's literally just you're trying to build the best possible engine in your hand out of the seven cards that you'll have at the end of the game. So this card procs points with this card, and this proc gives points for this.
Red Rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Fantastic little deck of cards.
Yeah, it's really good.
Bloody Inn.
Yes. It has small footprint. I would take Bloody Inn if I owned it for sure.
Yeah.
That's a great one. We did that on a Board Game Roulette.
We did.
Hey, I also say Usual Suspects or Unusual Suspects is a good party one to take. Surprisingly, a CMON game.
Hmm. Right.
I did not realize that
either.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have made a miniature bust for every single person.
Right.
Clearly.
And then charge an extra $100.
Yeah. You can get Unusual Suspects for anywhere from $15 to $1,000.
That would actually be a CMON game. Well, yeah, guys, let us know some of your favorites. And also, while you're poking around on the interwebs, check out our friends at the Board Game Mechanics. Jason and Katie over there have a once-a-week podcast. Drops Thursday night, Friday. I always listen to it on Friday, so I say Friday, but I think it actually comes out on Thursday nights.
It does, too.
And then Jason has videos coming out all week, just different reviews and stuff that they do.
Yeah, we get it, Jason. You have more time than us. Jeez, calm down.
Oh, boy. They're currently doing their top 100 games right now.
Nice. And that's a classic end-of-the-year thing to do.
And I'm like, oh, no, they're going through all the games I like now, so they're going to get to the, they're gonna get their top 10. I'll be like, womp, womp.
Yeah.
But no, they... It's good to check them out. They've got different tastes in games than us. They cover different things than we do. But they're really good people, fun people, and a really good community over there. Also, check out our sister channel, the Miniatures Rundown, and then the Pokemon Rundown is happening.
Yep.
That's a thing.
If you go to our main YouTube channel, there's a section called Channels, and all three of our sister channels are listed in there, links to them.
Also, something I've been thinking about, if you guys don't do like Facebook or don't love Facebook and want to interact with us on Facebook, because we are on Facebook at the Board Game Rundown, ask to join the group, we'll let you in.
Yep.
But I was thinking about maybe just doing like a Discord channel where we're all just a Discord server and want to chat
and pitch ideas and just talk about stuff.
So if Discord is something that you think you might like to do, drop us a message. Comment.
Put
let us know.
Put your username down there so we can.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore Discord fan.
Yep.
So if that's what you guys would prefer over a Facebook or even a YouTube comment section stuff, let us know because we can definitely get that up
and
running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
playthroughs.
Also, all of our weekly shows are available in podcast form, usually 2 or 3 days after the episode drops.
Yep, that's always a link in the description. If you prefer audio versions or if you tend to listen during work hours, audio versions are way better for your bandwidth and everything than a YouTube video. So check out the audio version. Now you'll be seeing it 2 or 3 days after the video, but that's fine.
Oh no, spoilers.
I know, right?
Sorry. But yeah, guys, that's pretty much all I got today.
Yeah. It's all you ever have.
It's good.
All I ever have. So for the Board Game Rundown, I've been Tim.
I've been Bob.
I've been Spencer.
When was the last time you made someone smile?
Years. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
Well, you guys forgot the best travel game. Twilight Imperium.
Oh, I thought you were saying
Candyland. I knew he
was. Too obvious.
Thanks for checking out the Board Game Rundown. If you like what you saw, like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. Share our videos on social media and spread the word. We publish new content weekly, including reviews, unboxing, and Let's Plays. And as always, thanks for watching.